Hello, strong babes, and welcome to the Empowered She podcast. My name is Marie, and I am your friendly neighborhood fitness coach and life hype woman. Guys, I started this podcast as a tool for you to build mental resilience and adapt a powerful AF mindset, because I truly believe that you can do anything you want. You can truly achieve all your goals and dreams the day you start taking total control of your life. So master your mindset and manifest your dreams right here with me. Let's go. Hello, my love, and happy Monday. And wow, do I have a treat for you today. So over the weekend, I had someone awesome come in to my Strong Babe tribe during our monthly masterclass. And her name is Anna. She's an anxiety coach. And she came in to teach my strong babes what anxiety is and how they can better manage it and overcome it eventually. And I think it's incredibly powerful because we experience anxiety in our lives in one way or another. Some people a lot more extreme, others very mildly, but it does affect the way we live. It stops us from doing what we actually want to do, and it stops us from truly being happy. I'm about to share with you the first half hour of Anna coaching the girls through the three tools she believes is really useful and the three tools that actually work for her and her clients on how they can overcome anxiety. Listen in, get your notepad out. Anna has some serious gems in the next half hour for you. And I myself, someone who's experienced anxiety before, found things that I never knew I could do. If you get something valuable out of this podcast, I would love for you to share it on Instagram, tag me at Marie Angel Fit, and away we go. Let's get into it. Let's go.
First of all, thank you so, so much for having me here. I'm so excited to be here and sharing my knowledge about anxiety with you all. This is like my absolute jam, something that I'm so, so passionate about because anxiety is something that literally every human being will experience at some point or another in their life. So it's, you'd be hard pressed to find someone that hasn't experienced anxiety before. And so that makes it a very human experience. So that makes it really important to understand what anxiety actually is and how to navigate these big feelings when they do come up. So they're not super scary, not overwhelming, and not really confusing when that happens, right? So just before we jump in, I just want to introduce myself. My name is Anna Papuano. It is definitely a tongue twister, I know, but my journey started after I was in a roller coaster accident when I was 10 years old at the Royal Melbourne Show. It was the first time that I was actually tall enough to be on a roller coaster. And it's actually a 1 in 24 million chance that you will be in a roller coaster accident. So I count myself one of the lucky ones. So for me, that experience kind of changed the course of my life. I went from a very happy-go-lucky young kid that was very outgoing, very confident, very easily made friends with people, to becoming very withdrawn, very isolated, and just not really knowing my place in the world anymore. So I suffered from anxiety and depression for 13 long years. I got diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder and major depressive episode at 13 years old. And as you can imagine, like, that's a pretty hard pill to swallow when you're 13. Like, I didn't even really know what depression or anxiety was at that stage. I just knew that I wasn't feeling happy. And so that journey was a long one for me. I hit rock bottom more times than I wanted to. And the last time that I did, I really had to look in the mirror and ask myself, like, did I want to be here anymore? Did I want to live my life anymore? And when I looked inside, the answer that I found was yes. Yes, I did want to live. Yes, I did want to live my life, but I didn't want to live my life in the way that I had been feeling for the past 13 years. I needed to make some drastic changes. So that was my motivating factor. That was my, like, that was my tipping point where I was like, all right, I need to take control of my life. I need to reclaim my brain. And so for me, that was, I went down the route of studying. I studied psychology. I then went on to become a qualified counselor. And then I really was kind of just like disheartened and dissatisfied by the traditional methodologies and approaches that were offered in those courses. So I decided to kind of break off and forge my own path and become an anxiety coach. So I learned how to heal my gut and the gut-brain connection. I learned all about breath work and became a breath work guide. I did life and success coaching, health and nutrition coaching. And that brings me to here where I am today with you guys. So that's a little bit of my story, but that's why I'm so, so passionate about sharing all of my knowledge and as much value as I can possibly with those that I come into contact with in just up-leveling women all around the world to take control of their lives as well. So what we're going to actually be covering today is what anxiety actually is and why that is super important to actually understand. And then I'm going to be running you through my three-step process for reclaiming your brain. So we're going to go through creating your empowered identity and being able to step into that every single day. I'm going to run you through some somatic release exercises, which are actually really fun to do. I was doing them before I jumped on here. And then we're going to go through an activity at the end that is all about changing your daily perspective and kind of broadening your reality of your world. So what is anxiety? So first and foremost, anxiety is a completely normal human experience. It is your body's natural security alarm system. So if you've ever heard an annoying car alarm going off for ages and ages, and you're like, would someone just turn that off? That is your anxiety. That is your brain's way of telling you, hey, there's something going on here. We need to maybe keep ourselves safe. So we're going to kick ourselves into fight or flight response. So what fight or flight response is actually, we have a little part of our brain called the amygdala. And this is just a tiny little walnut-sized part of our brain that is really responsible for all of the feelings that we get from anxiety. So racing heart, feeling dizzy, not being able to speak properly, feeling like your throat's closing up. And this is because our fight or flight response, when that turns on, it floods our body with adrenaline, it floods our body with cortisol, and it floods our body with norepinephrine. So all of these chemicals and neurotransmitters are really just in place so that we divert our blood into our extremities, so our legs and our arms, so that we can run away really quickly from people if we need to, or we can fight off our attackers. So this is why people will often feel dizzy when they have anxiety, because there's no blood really getting pumped into your brain as much, and it's all going to your legs and your arms. So just on a side note here, if you are someone that experiences dizziness, I have just a hot tip. You can lie on your back and just put your legs up against the wall, and it will just help bring the blood back down into your brain and help you feel less dizzy. So that's just a little side note here if that's something that you experience. But basically, this fight or flight response is intended to pick up on life-threatening kind of events, experiences, stuff like that. But what happens is we get conditioned to learn that certain things aren't safe for us throughout our lives. So especially in our younger years, we'll see negative consequences for certain actions and reactions that we get in the world. So your brain is constantly scanning the environment. And even when it's not a life-threatening event, it will still perceive that as an event that could potentially be detrimental to you. So it's this constant scanning that we don't even know is going on. So that's why it's sometimes really hard to pick up why you're feeling anxious. A lot of people will be like, I don't know what happened. I just started feeling anxious all of a sudden. But the reality is, without us even knowing it, it's picking up on social cues, different changes in energies from people around us, potential kind of embarrassing situations and stuff that could be kind of difficult for us and our ego to handle. And so that can trigger anxiety. So why this is important to know is that often people think that they need to have had a really big life event, like being in a roller coaster accident, to experience anxiety. But the reality is that everyone experiences anxiety, but it can also be triggered by different emotional things like emotional neglect, bullying, having a bad breakup, all the way through to really serious stuff like abuse and neglect. But it doesn't have to be a giant event that causes this to happen. It can just be lots of small things like stress. And you are worthy and capable of seeking support, even if that is not you. Even if you haven't had something really terrible happen to you, you don't have to be bad enough to seek support. It just has to be impacting your life in some way so that you can actually overcome and then excel at whatever it is that you want to do. And another reason why this is important is because people will feel like they're going crazy. People will feel like there's something terribly, terribly wrong with them, that they're experiencing mental health issues like anxiety. But the reality is that your brain is actually doing its jobs perfectly. It's actually doing exactly what it's meant to do. There is nothing wrong with you. You don't need fixing. You're not broken. You are the perfect whole human being that you were born to be. And sometimes it is just about unlearning certain conditioned responses and soothing that nervous system and those automatic fight or flight responses. And then another one is that most people will think that all you can do once you experience anxiety is manage it for the rest of your life. And I want to bust this myth like right now, because this is something I get asked all the time, like, is it actually possible for me to overcome anxiety? And yes, 1,000% yes. Like, I have done it in my life. I would not recognize the person that I was 5 years ago to who I am now. This is not something that you have to manage. With the right tools and techniques, you can actually overcome anxiety. You'll still experience anxious moments because that's normal. Like, we get nervous, we get anxious sometimes, but not to the point where it affects your performance in terms of work, life, relationships, everything else that comes along with being a human. So with all that said, let's jump into our first exercise for today. And this is one of my favorite things to do. This is my kind of, this for me was like the game changer for me. When I decided that I didn't want to be like, I didn't want to have anxiety as my identity anymore, I decided to create my empowered identity. I decided to step into that identity every single day. And this might seem like a kind of last step that you should do, but I think that this is the first step that you should do so that you have something to reach towards. Because one of the biggest struggles that when it comes to overcoming anxiety is that when you start to feel good, or when you start to change what you're doing in your day-to-day life, your brain doesn't like that. It doesn't like change. It lacks continuity. It lacks this like warm little cave that it's created for itself. And it doesn't want you to go outside of that. So it will do everything in its power to bring you back to that old narrative, to that old identity. So if you have ever tried to like start a new habit, like exercising regularly and doing those things, you know how difficult it can be and all of the excuses that you'll throw up. I'm too tired. I don't feel well. I've got too much on. Like, all of these things are your brain being like, hold up. We liked where we were. Let's just keep doing the same thing. It was nice and safe back here. So this is why it's really important to have something to reach towards, to step into, to create stability in your brain. This new identity is your way of creating a safety net so that your brain doesn't freak out and go, whoa, 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 this isn't the story that we've been telling ourselves. It's like if you jump off, you go bungee jumping, you've got that bungee cord to keep you safe. That is what your empowered identity is. It allows you to spring up when you're going down. So first and foremost, when we're creating our empowered identity, we want to be very clear on what it is that we want. So often when I speak to clients, and even with myself, and I ask people, like, what do you want? Like, their response is, well, I don't want to be anxious and I don't want to be broke and I don't want to have shitty relationships. But what do you actually want? Like, what do you actually want in your life? Do you want to feel purpose and fulfilled? What does that look like? What are you doing for work? All of these types of things are very tangible kind of feelings and goals that you can reach towards, as opposed to moving away from something that you don't want. You want to be moving towards something that you do want. So the way in which you can get clear on what you really want is to ask yourself these questions. So first and foremost, what do I want? What do I actually want my life to look like? And a really great way of kind of getting your imaginative juices flowing is to ask yourself, if I had a magic wand, what would I ask for? What would I change in my life? And what would that feel like to live that life for a day? So creating your ideal day. What do you do when you wake up? What do you eat for breakfast? Who are you with? What do you do for work? Do you have like rituals and routines that you go through? These are all really tangible things that you can start to think about and start to create in your day-to-day life. But if you don't know what they actually are, then we're just saying, I just want to be better, or I just want to be happy. And we can't actually know what that next stage for ourselves is. So question number one is, what do I actually want in my life? Question number two, this is another great one. What does a version of me who has it all think on a daily basis? And this is really important because the thoughts that we have on a daily basis kind of shape our reality. They project into our future. They color the way in which we feel about our past. So if you are the most empowered version of you, the one that is going out there feeling really confident in yourself, that doesn't experience anxiety, then what are you thinking to yourself? Are you thinking like, I've got this, this is easy, I can do this? Are you thinking, I'm confident, I'm strong, I'm capable? What are those thoughts that you are thinking on a daily basis? So when you have those, these can become your affirmations, and they can really help shape those limiting beliefs that we might hold around our self-worth and belief patterns that are holding us back. So what does the version of me who has it all, that most empowered version, think on a daily basis? And the next one is really about action taking. So this is a really fun one because I feel like a lot of people are like, I'm going to do that tomorrow. I'm going to start doing this next week. Or when I have enough money, I'll start doing X, Y, Z. Or when I'm feeling better, this is what I'll do. So what kind of actions does that empowered version of you take? Do you spend time on yourself? Do you maybe do meditation or breath work? Do you maybe go out for long walks or go to the gym and have your like gym buddies and do all that type of stuff? Do you volunteer? Do you continue learning? Do you take personal development courses? What are the kind of actions that you would take when you are feeling the best of the best version of you? Because these actions can be scaled back, and you can start to see how this creates a blueprint for the type of identity that you can take and step into every single day of your life. So if it was volunteering, maybe that is finding a local volunteer shelter like near you and just offering a few hours a week. Or maybe that is just doing a little bit of research to start with and not actually doing it to if that's something that scares you, then just doing the research, seeing what's out there, seeing what you're passionate about. You can start to take really small actions right now if you step into that empowered identity. And then lastly, what are the characteristics that I have as the most empowered version of myself? So when I was doing this, I thought about me in, I hadn't started my business yet, but I wanted to start a business, but I was freaking scared of getting online and having my face in front of other people. Doing something like this was not ever in my wheelhouse at all. I was like, no way, I'm never going to do this. So what I needed to do was decide, oh, actually, what characteristics do I actually want to have? And can I consciously step into each and every day? So things like being confident, speaking my mind, being a leader, being genuine and nurturing and empathetic were all characteristics that I decided on because, you know, if I want to be confident, all I had to do was stand up straight and put my shoulders back, and it would literally change the physiological feeling of being kind of small, making myself small, to feeling really confident. And then I would practice speaking my mind with my partner. I would write down things that I wanted to say and then kind of hold myself accountable and start to speak my mind each and every day. These characteristics are not make-believe. They're not things that you're faking it till you're making it. These are actually your characteristics that you have all of the time. They are there, but it is just about allowing yourself to step into them and go, how can I do this? What does this actually look like on a daily basis for myself? So you can just pick one characteristic each day and then go, okay, I'm going to work on this today, and just get really used to picking yourself up when you're slipping. Okay, I'm not feeling so confident. What can I do? Put my shoulders back, hold my head high. Maybe I can do like the superwoman pose to really just get into that frame of mind and just start to get used to stepping into that, because it will take some time and it's just about practicing like anything else. This is like training yourself to think differently, feel differently, and be differently each and every day. So that is your empowered identity. And I start with this because I think it's really important, because a lot of people will start to change, do all these activities and change things. And then they go, I don't know what's going on, but I feel like I want to be anxious. Like I feel like I want to step back into that space. And that's because your brain's feeling very unsafe when you just start taking actions and it doesn't know why. This is you giving your brain some answers and being like, here, we're going to step into this. It's okay. We're totally safe for us to do this. So what I love to do and why I love somatic release exercises so much is that so often we think that anxiety is all in our head, but as I just explained with the physiological responses of fight or flight, it happens in our body too. It is a very physical experience that we have. And if we only try to address what is going on in our mind, that's just 50% of the story. That is not the full picture. We are not actually addressing what is going on both physically and mentally. So there's also studies that have been done about trauma being stored in the body. So definitely grief gets held in the lungs. There's a lot of trauma that gets stored in our lower belly. So people often shallow breathe, so they don't breathe into that. We often hold tension in our neck and shoulders. So it's really important to have a really tangible kind of release exercise that you can do. And I love to do, like I said, I was doing these just before I jumped on. They're really fun to do. So I'm going to show you a few of them. But basically, if you start to feel anxious, you can run through these four exercises and it will change the way in which you're feeling. I suggest doing them like regularly, because when we only try to do things when we're in that heightened mode, then it's really hard for our brain to come back down from 100 to 0. So we need to start to understand like what that rest and relaxation phase actually feels like while we're at that phase. So we go, okay, yeah, I'm feeling even better when I'm rest and relaxed. And then when we're heightened, it knows how to bring yourself back down. So it's all about creating those neural pathways of being like, see, we've been here before. It's all good. We can calm ourselves down really easily doing these exercises. So what we're going to do, I'm just going to angle it down so you can see my legs. So the first one is shaking. So shaking, let me just talk to you like this first. So shaking is a very normal response that we have to fear. And so it can actually be used to our advantage when we start to feel anxious. We can actually use that motion of shaking to move through those feelings. So pretty much when you shake, you're just bending your knees slightly and you're just bouncing up and down, just shaking like this. And it actually feels so good. Like I'll just stand here and kind of like shake for ages. But if you can do that for 1 minute and then have a break afterwards and just ask yourself, like, how am I feeling? Do I feel any differently? Do I need to keep going? Those types of things. So shaking is number one. Then heel drops is number two. So this is just another one that kind of brings us back into our body. But basically, we just stand up on the balls of our feet, and then we just drop. We just drop onto our heels, just making a nice, loud, thudding noise. And so that's another really great one, because you start to feel, you're like, okay, like what's going on in my body? Like I can feel it in my hips. I can feel it in my butt. I can feel it in my chest. Like my boobs are moving up and down. Like it really kind of just makes you feel all of the physical sensations that you might need to feel when we kind of get stuck in our head. And then the next, so like I said, I've written all of these down for you guys as well. So you will have that in a workbook. So there's no need to remember them, but there's shaking and heel drops. The next two are the breath of life and calming breath. So the breath of life is when we just make a shh sound with our lips. So we're just shushing people. So if someone's pissing you off, you can just be like, hold up, I'm just going to do my somatic release exercise. And just shush them into their face. But this is a great one. So these two, the shushing one, and then the next one is going until you make your lips kind of vibrate and you can feel it. It really tickles, but you just try to do it for as long as possible. A minute would be great, but if you can do it for like two or three times of just until your breath runs out, then that will just get you feeling so, like I already feel so silly for doing it. So I feel so much better anyways, but those two are really great for activating our vagus nerve. So our vagus nerve is a nerve that runs from the base of our brain all the way down to our stomach, all the way down to our hips. And basically, when we activate our vagus nerve, it activates our parasympathetic nervous system. So this helps us feel really calm and relaxed. So things like the and the shushing will do that, but also cold exposure, so putting your face in cold water, are really great ways of activating your vagus nerve. But these, like especially the shaking tool, are things that you if you're at work, for example, and you start to feel anxious, you've got to do a presentation or something, you can go to the bathroom and just do like a minute of shaking and feel so much better afterwards. And it's a really kind of easy portable tool that you can take around with you. So they are the somatic release exercises, and I love them because, like I said, our body also stores these unprocessed emotions, these traumas and fears that we hold on to. So we need to be able to address our mental side of things as well as our physical side of things. This is super important to restore balance, right? And so in the workbook, I have put those four exercises as well as some ones to address thought patterns cognitively as well. So when you can do these two things, you're going to feel completely different afterwards, because not only are you starting to change those negative thoughts as they pop up, but when they do pop up, you have something to actually be like, oh, I'm going to release these right here, right now, so they don't have a hold on me. So the last thing that I want to share with you is probably I say this about everything, but probably one of my favorite things, just because it's so simple. And because it's so simple, I think people kind of discredit it as a powerful tool to change things. But there have been so many scientific studies on people who have really severe depression and anxiety doing this exercise for just 1 week and drastically improving their mental well-being scores. So basically what we want to do is we want to start to broaden the way in which we see our day-to-day life. So what happens as humans, we have a tendency to have a negativity bias. So this is a very, very evolutionary process. We need to be able to pick up on negative things faster than we pick up on positive things to keep us safe. So if someone's energy change, emotion shifts, all of those types of things happening in our environment, we need to be aware of those so that we can protect ourselves, right? But what happens is we get very, very used to only noticing these things. We get very used to being like, I had the worst fucking day today, when reality is that you probably had a bad hour at the max and like something really bad happened in that day, but the rest of your day was actually pretty good. Like not that much happened else outside of that. So we want to just not go from like super negative to wishful thinking. We just want to broaden our reality to see that, hey, shit happens. And sometimes there's always going to be good as well as the bad in our day-to-day life. So one way in which you can do this is a really simple exercising of listing three good things each night. So I do this, I've probably been doing this exercise for 5 years now. And so it's something that I very much believe in, and I would never suggest something that I don't use myself. but each evening writing down three good things that happened to you in that day. And they can be really small things like I got up in the morning, or they can be really nice big things like my partner brought me flowers or I got a promotion at work. But the important part of this exercise is not only just noticing that good thing, but then asking how it happened. So how did this happen? So is it because of a good quality trait in someone that they did something really nice for you? Are they really considerate? I.e., my partner brought me ice cream on their way home from work. This happened because they're really considerate. Or I went for a walk and this happened because I'm really motivated to care for my health. So how did it happen? What was the characteristic? What was the thing that made that happen? And then another thing that is really important to do is ask yourself why this is good. So why is it good that your partner brought you ice cream? Is it because it shows you that the relationship that you're in is with someone that really cares about you? Is that because you know that they're really thinking about you when they're not with you, and so that makes you feel really stable and secure in that relationship? Or is this good that you went for a walk because you're actively pursuing your health goals and it makes you feel physically and mentally good? So if you can think about how it happened, this helps you attribute really good characteristics in the people around you, creating that kind of safety network around you. But also, if it's something that good that you did, what did you actually do to make that happen? What personal strength did you have to get yourself out of bed and go for a walk? What was the action that you took that got you this good thing happening in your life? Because so often we will see things happening to us and we think, oh my God, all this shit's happening to us. But reality is that we actually do exercise some control over our world, over our reality. And when we can start to notice how that happens and that we are playing a role in this, then we can start to motivate ourselves to make those outcomes more positive for ourselves. So this is taking back the control in your life, as well as creating safety, that safety bubble around you with the people that you have in your life. So this is one of my favorite exercises, and these are all exercises and activities that you can start doing today really easily that will change in your mental state in the course of a few days, in the course of a week. Like if you do the somatic release exercises, you're going to be popping for the rest of the day. So it's like the perfect way to start your Saturday. So they are my three tips on how to cultivate positive mental health and reclaim your brain and overcome anxiety. So what we have learned today is how we create our empowered identity, how to think about what we truly want. What do we think? What are the activities that we take? What are the things that we think, and what are our characteristics? This is giving you something to move into. And then the next one is how to energetically and somatically release anxiety. Fun, but very, very useful. And then the last one is how to train your brain to broaden your perspective of your reality. So three really powerful things that you can actually start to do. And when I was putting together this masterclass, I was thinking of like three tips to manage anxiety. And then I was like, no, Anna, don't be an idiot. Like, I want to give people like really tangible tools to actually change your life. And these are the three things that have changed my life and the life of my clients. So I wanted to share those with you today so that you could put something really tangible into effect right now.
Anna, as we wrap up, can you tell us where we can find you on Instagram? And also, you know, if you guys do want further help, Anna is an anxiety coach and she would, I'm sure, love to help you with anything else you want to dive deep into. So Anna, if you'd like to share where we can find you, that'd be great.
So I have Instagram. So I'm Anna the Anxiety Coach on Instagram. I also have a website, which is www.annatheanxietycoach.com. And you can shoot me. I'm pretty responsive on Instagram. So if you want to contact me through there, but if you don't have Instagram, then you can email me at hello@annatheanxietycoach.com. And like I said, I have a workbook for you guys. So if you do want to shoot me a DM on Instagram, and I can send that through to you as well. And that's it. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Everyone, thank you for attending. I know we had a few people come in late, so I highly recommend watching the very first part because Anna frames up the presentation really, really well. Anna, thank you so much for holding space for us and for educating us on the really tangible tools we can use today, starting today, guys, on how we can better manage our anxiety. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me, everyone. It was such a pleasure to be here. I really appreciate you spending your Saturday morning with me.
Thank you. See you guys.
And that's it, guys. Thank you so much for listening to my podcast. I hope you got so much value out of it that you're able to apply in your daily lives so that you can become the best version of yourself. If you like this, please make sure to subscribe and share on your social media platforms. I would truly appreciate it if more people had the chance to know that they can do what they want to achieve if they just master their mindset. Now, I also send a lot of strong babes, strong words weekly to help start their week on a positive and purpose-driven mindset. So if this is you, if you want that guidance and support from me, send me a message at Marie Angel Fit on Instagram, and I'll happily add you to my Strong Words mailing list. Now, before I go, I hope you guys have a wonderful day and do something today that will leave the world a better place. Remember to be kind to yourselves, the planet, and to each other. Till next time, strong babe. Bye.